Pastor Les is away, and he had asked me to fill in, which I was excited, especially when I heard that it was going to be on Walking with the Giants, and it was going to be on Joseph. I particularly love the story of Joseph. I really, really enjoy just his character, the person that God made him to be. Interesting enough, I was talking, I was doing Sunday school with the preteens this morning, and we were talking about Jeremiah. And Jeremiah chapter 1, it talks about, you know, before you were even born, before you were even thought of, and I was showing them a small little grain of rice. You know, you were probably about 4 weeks old when you looked like about that size. But you know what? God had a plan for you. God had a plan for Jeremiah. And that's the same with Joseph as we talk about that tonight. And we're going to be looking at chapters 30 to 47. Now, we're not going to read them all the way through. That's quite a few chapters. But the story of Joseph kind of begins in chapter 30. And then it sort of tells a few little stories. And then it gets into the what I call the good stuff. So if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, I heard a few pages turning. I love that. Pastor Wesson, I love to hear that. Amen. That means you've got your Bibles with you. It's the first book of the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. And for some of you who would remember when we used to teach in Wee College about the Pentateuch, it's the first book of the Pentateuch. So tonight we're going to hit most of what happened in Joseph's life, but to be more thorough, I suggest that you take the time to read it this week. It's 17 chapters, but it'll give you, hopefully I'll touch on the highlights and you'll be able to get the rest of it this week. So in chapter 30, we see that Joseph is born into a large family. And it's just going through, it's going through, here was this son born to Leah, and then this son was born to Leah, and then this son was born to Leah, and then Rachel gets a little upset, and she wants a baby, and then here's another maidservant, and another maidservant, and they're having all of these children, and eventually Joseph is born through Rachel. Jacob was the father, and the mother Rachel died after the youngest brother Benjamin was born. So here, there's chapter 30. If you want to flip over to chapter 35. It's not going to go that fast. The sermon won't go that fast, but so chapter 35, the story picks up on Joseph when he's 17 years old. Excuse me. The story picks up on Joseph in chapter 35, but then if you go to chapter 37, this is where it starts talking about Joseph, and he's 17 years old in the second part of verse 2. Joseph has many brothers, and there's some sisters, but Joseph likes to tell them what to do. Now, how many of you come from a family that has other siblings? And how many of you really appreciate it when they would tell you what to do? Oh, I don't see any hands. I don't like to be told what to do. But in this situation, I don't know if Joseph just didn't get it, but he likes to tell them what to do and tell them how to do it properly. It's true of brotherly and sisterly love. At least that was the way it was in my family. But this went above and beyond that, and the Bible picks up on that. See, the brothers don't like to be told what to do by Joseph. But here's the next part. Jacob, the father, loves Joseph the most in his family. If you go to chapter 37 and verse 3, now Israel, his name was changed by God, loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a vari-colored tunic. Or, in another version, it would say, a coat of many colors. So he gets him a coat, a special coat, and it's a coat of many colors. And can't you just see him parading it around? Ah, look what Dad bought me. Oh, he didn't buy one for you? Oh, too bad. Ah, look how sweet this is. Oh, it's lovely. You know, I'm sure because I've seen my girls do it, you know, parade in front of them and say, I must be better than you, right? And he had a bit of this attitude. But the brothers have now come to hate him. I always tell my girls, you don't use the word hate. It's too strong of a word. You could say, so that immediately one of them will go, well, I dislike this person. Well, yeah, that's not really what you want to say. Hate is so strong. It's got anger in it. It's got big dislike in it. But the word hate is just, I don't like using that word. But here in the Bible, it's saying he was hated by his brothers. So one day Jacob tells Joseph to go see his brothers. So Joseph does, as his dad says. And when he gets to them, they have put a plan together to get rid of him. I can't even imagine getting that desperate to that point, you know, so upset with my brother that I want to get rid of him. But he does. He has his coat ripped off of him. He's thrown in a well by his brothers, who leave him there all alone. And later that day, some merchant travelers come along, and the brothers treat Joseph as a slave, and they sell him to the traders. The brothers rip the coat apart and dip the parts of it in goat's blood and take it back to their father, because they want the father to think that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. Jacob is so sad. He mourns. He cries over the loss of his son. What? My favorite son? His coat? It must be. And he makes the assumption that he has been killed. The brothers seem happy with what they've done because they finally get rid of Joseph. Yes, our plan worked. We're never going to hear from him again. He's never going to parade that coat in front of us. They must have just felt, whoa, yes. So meanwhile, the traders take Joseph to Egypt. Can you imagine that happening in real life? Like, how do you think that Joseph would have felt? I'm sure he felt fearful, scared, afraid, nervous. Doesn't really say that in the Bible. But it makes you wonder. Makes me wonder. Well, if you're taking notes, I've got 4 points. And the first one is, I find strength in God. So I choose to talk to Jesus about all of my troubles. I find strength in God, so I make the decision to talk to Jesus about all of my troubles. See, in the Bible, in Psalm 56, verse 3, it says, when I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust in you, God, when I'm afraid. Who's the you? It's Jesus. He hears us whenever we talk to him. We can whisper his name and he is there for us. We can shout, Jesus! And he's there. But we can also whisper it. God is all around us and with us wherever we may go. He just wants to be invited. So when we look at chapter 37, there really are 3 main people in this next part of the storyline. There's Reuben, there's Jacob, and there's Joseph. So I just want to touch on Reuben and Jacob for a minute. If we look at Genesis chapter 37, verses 21 and 22, it talks about Reuben having a plan to rescue Joseph. So he was okay with throwing him in the well. But the idea of, okay, but I'll come back for him and I'll get rid of him some other, I don't want him to be hurt or anything, but, you know, I'll come back for him. So when he came to rescue him in verses 29 and 30, he finds that he's gone and he's upset. And he tore his clothes and he was in despair. And he went over to his brothers right away and said, the boy is gone. What am I going to do? Well, then we see Jacob. in verse 31 to 35. Here, now they've gone to dad, and he's been told that his favorite son has been killed. He sees the blood on the coat that Joseph had always worn. He sees that the brothers are upset, and the coat's been ripped. And he says, how? Why? My son's coat, he says. All of his family try to comfort him, but he didn't want any of them around. He just said, no. He was just too sad to be comforted. He was too sad to be around anybody. And the Bible talks about, how he wept for Joseph. Well, Joseph, now he's gone with the Midianite traders. He's gone to Egypt. He was pushed into a well by his brothers. He's sold for 20 pieces of silver by his very own family. Can you imagine as he's being carted by? Like, guys, ha ha, this is funny. Come on, you're coming for me, right? Like, what? You're not coming for me? What? Where are you taking? 20 pieces of silver is about one cup full of silver. He doesn't know why. He doesn't know what he did wrong. Why are they acting this way? Is this a joke? Well, next, the story goes on, and he was sold to Potiphar as a slave. What does he know about being a slave? And who is Potiphar? And where's my dad? I'm 17. Loved me. Will I ever see him again? Why would they do this? I am all alone. God help me. I'm sure you've had one of those emotional pleas before God. Why am I so alone? Why am I not with my family? Why did my family do this? Well, Joseph is sad for sure. Maybe even depressed. I'm sure he was definitely low. Well, what about you? Have you ever felt alone? No one's your friend? Things in your life that you're sad about? Sometimes you can't even talk about it? We all have bad days, don't we? But that's when I think it's no matter what we face that we can go to God. We talked about finding strength in calling out to Jesus. It's great to have human friends, but how much better is it to have Jesus as your best friend? Amen. You know, I've taught about Joseph before to kids. And what I like to tell them is, you know what? It's good to talk to Jesus. Talk to him like when you pray, but then stop and listen. You need to practice listening prayers. And adults, we need to do that too. When we do listening prayers, you close your eyes. Well, you don't have to close your eyes, but I find it's easier. You close your eyes and you just say, God, can you talk to me right now? Jesus, will you just speak to my heart, speak to my soul? It's amazing. Because if you mean it, he will do it. It's about a two-way conversation. Rather than us just doing the talking, we listen. Because he loves you so much. And he cares for you. And he enjoys the conversation. Sharing our day. He thinks that we are terrific. And he knows that when we are sad, if we just take time to talk to him, we'll find strength and feel better. We'll find courage and power to face those things that make us feel sad. You see, he takes care of us and is a better listener, even though we're not always listening to him. So the second point I would say is, I choose to whisper Jesus' name when I feel scared. Yeah, you know what? Being scared is not just for kids. We feel it too, don't we? So I'm going to choose that when I feel scared, when I cannot even imagine or comprehend what Joseph was feeling as he's being led away, he must have said, God, help me. I'm scared. So I choose to whisper Jesus' name first. It's the first response. Genesis 39. It begins with Potiphar. Potiphar is a very wealthy and powerful man. And he was an Egyptian master who was one of Pharaoh's officials. He was the captain of the guard, in fact. And Potiphar accepted Joseph in his house to be a slave. We see this in verses 2 to 6. In verses 2 to 4, it says that the Lord was with Joseph, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Joseph was put in charge of Potiphar's household. He was doing very well for himself. So he's finding strength in God. He chose to talk to God. He chose to wait on him. It's a good lesson for us. Joseph had to have been upset about being away from his family, though. I mean, it doesn't go into that part in the Bible. But he is alone. There's no family around. I'm sure in his downtime, in his quiet time, he must have felt alone. I'm sure he often wondered, are they sorry for what they did? Do they miss me? But here is where the story takes a turn. If you know the story, Potiphar's wife came up to him. And she liked Joseph, but she liked him a little bit more than just a friend. She wanted to sleep with Joseph. And so she went to him and asked him, and what did he do? He ran away, but when he did, his coat came off and it was left in the household. He didn't do what she wanted, so she decides to get revenge and accuse him of doing something that he never did. She immediately tells Potiphar, and the Bible says in verse 19, "Now it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, 'This is what your slave did to me,' that his anger burned." Potiphar threw him in jail. He was furious. He was livid. "You're in charge of my house, and this is what you do when I'm gone?" There was broken trust. He was mad. He felt betrayed. And this happened to Joseph. And now he sits in jail. That'd make me mad. He's sitting in jail. And again, Joseph has done nothing wrong. I'm sure he's got to be, "Why me?" Do you ever think that? I have from time to time. "Why me, Lord? Why is it always me?" Sometimes we get down on ourselves. But there's a plan in place. But the Bible talks about not getting angry. Well, Ephesians 4:26 and 27 actually says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." So, yeah, we can get angry, but don't sin. So my third point would be, when anger steps in to take control, stop. Let your heart speak so Jesus can help you. When anger steps in and it feels like it's controlling you, you stop what you're doing. And you let Jesus take control. because he's going to help you. See, the Bible says it's okay to get angry. It's a natural emotion. In Ephesians 4, what does it mean? It says, don't let anger take control of your actions, because that's when sin happens, because you have no self-control. There's no fruit of the Spirit. Why shouldn't you ever go to bed mad? Because you're not dealing with the wrong. You're not dealing with why you're angry. What about if you hear someone talking to you, or that voice inside that makes you say, I just want to hate that person. They've done something bad. And you brew on it. Is that God's voice? No. That's the voice of the enemy. That's why we say, when that anger is burning, you stop. And you let Jesus come in and help you. You can walk away, you can talk to someone, you can think before you speak, or you can just take a time out. But if you've got anger, you got to deal with that so that you don't sin. When we can control our anger, we need to control our anger. It never turns out right when we allow anger to control us or lead us to do something that could hurt someone. You never want to blow up and do something that you're going to regret. So let your heart speak. We go back to the story. So Joseph's in jail. God's still with him. He reaches out in kindness to him, and he put him on good terms with the head jailer. Man, what a good guy Joseph seems to be. Everybody seems to like Joseph in the end. I think that's God. The head jailer put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. He manages the whole operation. The head jailer even gave Joseph free rein. He never even checked on him because God was with him. Whatever he did, God made sure it worked out for the best. That's what it says in verse 20 to 23. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Joseph succeeded because the Lord was with him. So we venture on in our Bibles to chapter 40. So one day, Pharaoh, the Egyptian leader, had some dreams, and he needed someone to tell him what they meant. It was bothering him, and no one could tell him what they meant. He had sages come in. He had wise people come in, and it was not sitting right. What do these dreams mean? Well, Joseph was asked to do this for Pharaoh. He had done this many years before. We hear about how when the cupbearer and the baker were in jail, when you read a little bit further, that they had dreams as well. And Joseph interpreted them. Joseph was using his talent before God. And because he was the only one to do this, Pharaoh says, I'm letting you out of jail. That makes sense what you said. Chapter 41, verses 39 to 40. Pharaoh said to Joseph, you're the man for us. God has given you the inside story. No one is as qualified as you in experience and wisdom. Wow, I'd like to hear that. From now on, you're in charge of my affairs. All my people will report to you. Only as king will I be over you. I'm putting you in charge of the entire country. Have you ever heard of that? Someone going from jail to the right-hand person of the king, the Pharaoh? He went from jail to being second in command. He's now dressed in fine robes. He wears the signet ring of the Pharaoh. He has a gold chain around his neck. He's riding in a chariot with men calling out, make way! Make way! That's the favor of God. Joseph is now 30 years old, and he has so much to be proud of. Well, Joseph marries, I want to say Asenath, A-S-E-N-A-T-H. So if I pronounced it wrong, my apologies. And they had two sons before the years of famine came. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, saying, God made me forget all my hardships and my parental home. And then he names the second one Ephraim, saying, God has prospered me in the land of my sorrow, a family of his own to love and be with after all these years. So Joseph's now 35, and everything that's happened in his life, all the bad stuff, God gives Joseph blessing after blessing after blessing. And finally, Joseph's own dreams are coming true. But how could he have ever thought that when he was being taken away as a slave? How could he have ever thought that when he was put in the well? Or when he was being sent to jail by Potiphar? So now there's a great famine in the land where he presided. People were so hungry that everyone had to each go and see Joseph because he was running the country and he was the one giving out grain to the people. But now the story switches back to his original family. There's a famine in all the lands around Egypt. And where Jacob lived in Canaan, they were hungry. So Jacob hears that there's food in Egypt and he says, sons, go buy some grain and bring it back for us to eat. Jacob had no idea that Joseph was even alive, nor did his brothers. And many years had passed, and they hadn't heard anything from him. But if we look at Genesis 42, verse 7, it says, when Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he disguised himself to them and spoke to them harshly. Where have you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan, to buy food. But later in verse 30, it says that he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and he wept there. He wept. He had to take time for his feelings. Man, he's sad and he's angry for what they've done to him after all these years, and now they want my help? He couldn't hold it in any longer. The story goes on to talk about, finally, Joseph revealed to his brothers that he was indeed Joseph, the brother that you had sold. Genesis 45, verse 3, it says, then Joseph said to his brother, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Can you even imagine? Hey, I'm Joseph, the one that you had left for dead. Here I am. This guy is high up on the chain of command. What he could have done to them. They couldn't believe what they were hearing and seeing. Well, the brothers, they asked for forgiveness, and the restoration of the entire family begun. They went back and they got Jacob and Benjamin, and they brought them back to Egypt, and they live out their lives together, and it's a happy ending. All in all, Joseph had to say this to his brothers in Genesis 45, verses 4 to 8. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. This is awesome. But don't feel badly. Don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. God sent me on ahead to pave the way. So you see, it wasn't you who sent me here. It was God. Jaw drop. Drop the mic, you know, like, whoa. What did you notice about the verses that we read today in Joseph, and the story of Joseph? Well, there's a theme. Yes, God never left Joseph. He never left him. And at times, Joseph, with his emotions, I'm sure, you know, he was distressed, he was angry, he felt lost, he felt alone, but God never left him. Even in hard times, even in bad times, God had a plan, and he took care of him. So my last point would be, I'm joyful because God knows everything about me. And if I fail, I can be forgiven. He knows everything about me, and if I fail, I can be forgiven. The brothers knew that they failed and they needed forgiveness. And at the same time, Joseph chose to forgive. How hard that must have been. So many feelings. I can't imagine. But you know what? That's so much like Jesus. No matter what we've done, he will forgive us of our sins. Maybe we've done wrong. Maybe we've told a lie or hurt a brother or sister. These are things that we do that are wrong, and they hurt Jesus. And when we sin, Jesus wants to take that hurt, that anger, that bad stuff that's in us, and he wants us to be freed of that. And when you ask Jesus to come in and live in your heart, he will come and live there. All you have to do is pray and ask Jesus to come and stay and say, God, forgive me of all unrighteousness. And he'll be there to help you. And he'll lead you and he'll guide you. And you'll grow. And you can keep going just like Joseph did. See, I find strength in God, so I choose to talk to Jesus about all my troubles. And I choose to whisper Jesus' name first when I feel scared. And when anger steps in to take control, I stop. I let my heart speak to Jesus so he can help me. And I'm joyful because God knows everything about me. Because if I fail, I know that he will forgive me. Can you bow your heads? Thank you, God, for this amazing story of Joseph. I love that it parallels to you, Jesus, and for all that you've done for us. I love that it's a rich story in healing and forgiveness. And I love the gentle whispers or hints that you were always there. You were always there for Joseph. No matter what he faced, no matter who he faced, you were there. And we thank you, Lord, that this is a story of trust. Simple childlike trust of faith in a God that we can't see, but we believe in. And we trust in that through our life, no matter what we face, he is always there for me. You are always there for Joseph, and you will always be there for me. And he will always be there for you. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you are so rich in love and in kindness. So, Father, I just pray that tonight, if there's anybody who needs a little special prayer, that, Lord, they would feel to come forward and be prayed with. And, Lord, if not, then if anything, Lord, you have reminded us tonight of your faithfulness of the faithful one.